Beyond Plastics recently released a comprehensive account of the United States plastic industry's significant yet rarely acknowledged contributions to the climate crisis. In this report called The New Coal, Plastics and Climate Change. To help break down this report for us, we are joined by Alexis Goldsmith, community organizing consultant at Beyond Plastics. Welcome back, Alexis.
Hi, great to be here, Sina. Thanks for having me.
Could you give us a brief summary of the findings of in this report?
Yeah, so this report takes a, as you said, a comprehensive look at the plastic industry's contributions to climate change. And this report looks at it from a cradle to grave. So from the moment that the fossil fuels are extracted from the ground to be made into plastic through the supply chain and disposal. So what we found was these emissions are significant. The methane emissions are significant. And in 2020, the plastics industry in the U.S. released at least 232 million tons of CO2, which is CO2 equivalent, which is equal to about 116 500 megawatt coal-fired power plants. By 2025, these emissions will exceed 150 coal-fired power plants. And by 2030, the U.S. plastics industry will surpass the emissions of coal in the U.S. So this is really serious because plastics are not really connected to the talk around climate change or policies to address climate change. And what this report found is that the plastics industry build out in the United States is threatening to undermine our mitigation efforts and our ability to stay below a 1.5 degree Celsius rise in temperature, which scientists agree is the limit that we need to avoid the most catastrophic effects of climate change.
There are 10 sections in this report. Can we read off the titles and you can give us 1 point to each category to better understand this content?
Yeah, so obviously this... Not obviously, but this research is dense. These are self-reported emissions from the industry. So that's really important to note. So these are not, these are emissions that plastics industry and the fossil fuel industry are required to report to the EPA. So it's important to note that this is an undercount because not every industry is required or not every facility is required to report its emissions, and they aren't required to report all types of emissions, just some. And then, of course, you have methane leakage and escaping greenhouse gases that aren't captured or measured. But from the data that we do have, we broke it down into 10 stages of production and disposal, basically, for plastics. And those stages start with fracking. The majority of plastics in the U.S. are now made from fracked ethane gas. And we found that by 2025, those emissions will be equivalent to 21 coal-fired power plants, and the majority of this from methane emissions. And methane is a very potent greenhouse gas. During the 12 years that it's in the atmosphere, it's 84 times more potent than carbon dioxide. So that's really important. The second stage is transporting and processing fracked gases. So once the ethane is extracted from the ground, it's mixed with like a slurry of other natural gases. It's mixed with the wastewater from the fracking and sand. So it has to be processed and transported via pipeline, et cetera. From there, the ethane goes to an ethane gas cracker where it actually gets made into plastics. And these are massive carbon polluters. They make up the bulk of the carbon pollution. By 2025, ethane gas crackers in the United States will be at least the equivalent of 50 coal-fired power plants. And this industry is expanding in the U.S. More and more ethane crackers are being built to capitalize on cheap and abundant natural gas liquids and to provide an alternative market for fossil fuels as the world and the country is moving off of fossil fuels and decarbonizing our electricity and our travel. The other stages are other types of plastic feedstock manufacturing, polymer and additives production, exports and imports. So a lot of plastic in the United States is made to be exported. And even the gas that is extracted during the fracking process, that may also be exported. So there's a pipeline that goes from Ohio to Delaware. It's called the Mariner East pipeline. And that pipeline is just to transport ethane to the coast, to the Atlantic coast. And it is transported overseas to Scotland and made into plastic there. We have foamed plastic insulation. So this is like a spray-on type of plastic insulation. Chemical recycling, which is also called advanced recycling, or waste to energy, waste to fuel, zolvolysis, pyrolysis. There's all different kinds of types of chemical recycling. And chemical recycling is really just a high heat process that turns plastic back into fossil fuel. And it emits three times as many greenhouse gases as it takes in. So for every 1 pound of plastic that it processes, it emits 3 pounds of carbon dioxide equivalent. And we also looked at plastics in the water. So a phenomena of plastic pollution that we are just beginning to understand is that as plastic breaks down in our waterways, and especially in the ocean, it actually inhibits the ability of phytoplankton to turn carbon dioxide into oxygen. So the ocean is a really important source of oxygen and a really important carbon sink, and plastic pollution is interfering with that. So those are the 10 stages of plastic production, use, and disposal that this report looks at.
Just a brief look. Thank you. So the report was recently released. It was released last week, was it?
Yes, it was released on October 21st.
Great. And so the COP26 is happening now. It's just starting. So how can this influence the decisions that are being made there? And I'd love to break down the international and the national and also come to like some local understanding of this issue. So internationally with COP26, how do you think this should influence what's being talked about there?
Yeah, so as I said earlier, plastic is not really in the conversation when it comes to climate change and climate change policies. It's a bit of a dark horse when it comes to sources of greenhouse gas emissions. And we did intentionally release this ahead of COP26 because we want to get political attention on this issue. And this is, we want to have plastics in the rhetoric around climate change and policies to address it and commitments to address it. So plastic production worldwide is increasing at an exponential rate. And this is going to undermine our ability to stick with our climate commitments. And we need to sound the alarm on this issue. Plastic pollution is already at crisis level. We are all eating, drinking, and breathing plastic pollution from the microplastics that are breaking down in the environment from plastic pollution. Now we know that they are also a major source of greenhouse gas emissions. In fact, the plastics industry, to put it in perspective, releases twice as many greenhouse gas emissions as the entire aviation industry. And if it were its own country, it would be the fifth largest polluter in the world. But nobody talks about this, and nobody talks about reining it in, and industry is just continuing to expand, and it's expected to quadruple by 2050. So if we want to avoid catastrophic climate change, we need to see commitments to reducing plastic production, not in expanding it.
So what do you think, why is this not being acknowledged? And how do these trends, I feel like it's kind of trends come in and out of like what we focus on as our solution to having a future. What's your take on why it's not being part of these important debates?
I think it's a lack of understanding of the issue. It's largely happening under the radar. Our report also looks at the environmental justice aspects of the industry, and it found that 90% of these emissions are being released into just 18 communities, mostly in Texas and Louisiana, but increasingly in Appalachia. So it's just not well known, and it's not well known among climate organizers and protesters and, you know, just grassroots activism that has really led the way in making climate change the issue that it is and putting pressure on international leaders to act. So this report, we hope, will connect some of those dots and really, again, bring plastic back into the dialogue.
You mentioned Louisiana and Texas, and you have a table on your appendix of, and 45.2% of CO2 per year, tons of CO2 per year are coming from Texas and 34.6 from Louisiana. So what is going on there?
Basically, you have an industry that has been encouraged by state governments that has capitalized on extraction of fossil fuels. And you have Cancer Alley, which is an infamous stretch of the Mississippi River, where it is extremely concentrated in petrochemical facilities. And it's called Cancer Alley because the residents there suffer and die as a result. So that's what's going on. But also it's regulatory capture. It's an extension of the racist history of that area and America's, the United States' racist past, because most of these communities are Black and or BIPOC. In fact, they're 67% more likely to be BIPOC than other communities. So the fact that these emissions, these toxic emissions that can cause lifelong health problems, anxiety, mental anguish is the best way to describe it, to make it so that you can't garden in your yard. They have been purposefully concentrated in Black communities in Texas and Louisiana. So that's an unfortunate reality. So this isn't just a climate change issue. This is also an environmental justice and environmental racism issue. And really, because people don't see it, it can be easy to ignore or not even know about. But again, we're hoping this report sheds light on it.
How has this report been received by the public or anybody else?
This report was well received by the media. We actually had 45 different media articles or interviews written about it. It has already been attacked by plastics industry representatives who are citing that plastic as a material is less carbon intensive than glass or metal because it lightens the transportation of products. But really, that's just, you know, they're throwing out a study that they commissioned. We have not heard President Biden yet acknowledge this report, but we would like to. Last week, communities from across the country came together as part of the Break Free from Plastic movement to call on President Biden to immediately halt approvals for new and expanded petrochemical permits. And these communities are frontline communities. There were people from Texas, Louisiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, San Francisco, DC, and they all showed videos of these massive fossil fuel and petrochemical projects in their communities. And one that really stuck out to me was in Monica, Pennsylvania, where the Shell ethane cracker is being built. They had people dressed up in costumes as like babies and moms and Mr. Rogers, and they were being chased around a plastic pie by a wealthy CEO who was force feeding the babies plastic. And they were doing this where you could see the Shell ethane cracker in the background. So this is an international movement, and it's growing in power. And there are the community across the U.S. is calling on Biden and Congress to say, stop, no more, stop the build out, do something about this. And I would just like to note in the last 30 seconds, the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act, which would put into law a moratorium on new federal permits for those petrochemical facilities, really, we have got to stop the expansion of this infrastructure. It's antithetical to life. And you can read our report on our website at beyondplastics.org. It's beyondplastics.org/plasticsandclimate.
That was Alexis Goldsmith. We'd like to thank her again for coming on to talk with us about the new coal, plastic and climate change report just released by Beyond Plastics. So thank you again, Alexis.
Thank you. And we should note that Alexis contributes weekly segments on Plastic PSA.
Thank you for having me.